I think it's important to ask yourself every time you get an opportunity, how can I take a next step with this client? This client has already sold on you. So it's not like going back to your office and calling up strangers and asking them to believe in you. And I'll tell you, I call it aftercare. It's the last chapter in my new book. And I came upon this totally by accident, Dom.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review to highlight, and this one is a five-star review from Steph KB. And her review is titled, "My Guy is the Truth." Consistent content that hits hard. Dom has the perfect radio/pod voice. Thanks a bunch, Steph BK, for that review. Appreciate you doing just that. And if you like something about the podcast, be sure to let us know by leaving a review on the podcast website itself or Apple Podcasts, the app. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right indeed, courtesy of my good buddy, Neil. Indeed, that's right indeed, my buddy, Neil. I forgot, shoot, what episode he was. He's probably freaking 500 episodes ago. It was like 3 years ago we had him on the show. We talked about his wonderful book about STEM and hair for the littles and being a cool uncle for the kiddos. But hey, he hooked me up with one heck of a super special awesome human today, my friends. That's right indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over indeed. Five times over indeed. Because today's wonderful guest is a best-selling author, folks, who is a wonderful consultant as well as a world-renowned speaker and the industry expert in the speaking industry. He works with speakers, consultants, and experts wanting to book more business, make more money, and monetize their message. So let's give it up for the legendary and curious Lois Kramer. How you doing today, Lois?
I'm great, Dom. So happy to be with you today.
Well, happy to have you. That's right, indeed. This podcast is all about folks write their books and shoot. There's always aftermath, like, hey, maybe I should become a speaker, and hey, you help people book more business. So, all the puns intended.
I hear them.
That's right. If there's a bun out in the world, a pun's going to go on it. but it ain't all about puns. It's about the legendary Lois. I probably forgot to shoot a whole bunch of things. So, my goodness. So, with all of your wonderful experience under your belt, if you were to describe your wonderful journey from, I guess, shoot, from the beginning to the lowest that you are today in three words, what would they be and why?
It would be just a total accident that I'm where I am. I never thought that I would have my own business. I have to tell you, when I got out of college, I got a great job with a Fortune 10 company in sales and marketing. Very lucky. Worked there a number of years, left to raise my daughter. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom for a number of years. And then a college connection connected me with a professional speaker who was looking for someone to help run his business. And I had been threatening to go back to work time and was looking for something part-time. We connected and we had a series of success. And I'll tell you that when I talked to this gentleman, I never even knew speaking was an industry. Never heard of it. I thought you get paid to do what? I mean, I can't tell you how surprised I was. And we joined forces and had some success. And I was looking at the world of professional speaking and thinking that most professional speakers did not do a good job when describing what they did, when someone asked them what they did. And I actually started my business based on that. And so I started consulting with speakers. Then I started my own speaking practice, speaking on sales to corporations and associations. I don't do that anymore, but I still speak. I speak exclusively to professional speakers groups in the United States and around the world. And I work exclusively with speakers, consultants, and experts. So it's a very niche business, but it's nothing I had this big plan, quite frankly, in the beginning. Just events kind of happened, and I saw an opportunity. And even when I started my consultancy, I wondered, would there be enough people that would let me make a business out of doing this? And lo and behold, there were. It turned out to be a good idea. So I've been doing this for over 20 years, and this very niche business of mine, absolutely love it.
Ah, very niche business indeed. Like, dude, like when they say niche of business and have a Pictionary, they didn't put your face and business in the Pictionary.
It's me. It's me smiling back at you. You're absolutely right.
Yes, indeed, because it's like, shoot, anybody could be a freak of speaker, but hey, like, are you really a coach to speakers and got the wonderful proven results to back it up on top of that? Like,
well, I learn from every client I work with, and I've been really so fortunate to work with some absolutely terrific people. I love what I do because I get to hang around terrific creative people who want to do things in this world. But that said, speaking is a very different business. I say that professional speakers are really in the intellectual property business. That's the business we're in. It's how do we put our intellectual property in the marketplace? Speaking being one way to do it. But other ways to do it, and most speakers do have other revenue streams, are writing books, creating courses, doing consulting or coaching, having membership groups, doing mastermind meetings, things like that. You know, I'll tell you that I always tell people, Dom, who are window shopping, thinking they want to jump into speaking, that this is really a sales job where we occasionally get to speak because it's very, very tough. We work hard for every opportunity we get to be on the platform.
Yep, it's true indeed. It's so true indeed because you got to love sales to really be in the business because, heck, I even remember in the beginning of your book where it talked about, hey, like, don't even bill yourself as a motivational speaker. That's not the thing anymore. Unless you're like Tony Robbins, you ain't going to get away with that title.
Well, listen to me. There are a few motivational speakers out there, purely motivational speakers. And so I tell anybody who wants to be a motivational speaker, don't bother. They've got the market covered. But here's what I'll tell you I know. Corporations and associations for business speakers, that's my market, are looking for much more than motivation or inspiration. That is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. They are looking for high content speakers. And I tell my clients, some who, Dom, cannot resist using the word motivation. That is really a style. That's not a topic. So to say I'm a high content speaker, going deep into whatever expertise you bring to the table, who's motivational in style or inspirational in style, use them as descriptors of style, but don't use them as the main thing and say, I'm a motivational speaker. It just isn't enough for the market. The market wants experts who can go deep into a specific area.
Yep, it's so true indeed. It's so true indeed. Heck, it reminds me of one of our past guests, William Winfield, where he mentioned like, hey, like the stage is great, but usually behind the scenes, like the aftercare and the workshops afterwards, that's where the real money is. Like, it's good to be on a stage, good for the ego and everything, but like the real help is what folks need. It's the stuff that's behind the scenes when it's off the stage.
Well, I think that's true. And I'll tell you that I think it's important to ask yourself every time you get an opportunity, how can I take a next step with this client? This client has already sold on you. So it's not like going back to your office and calling up strangers and asking them to believe in you. And I'll tell you, I call it aftercare. It's the last chapter in my new book. And I came upon this totally by accident, Dom. I presented to a corporation out in LA. And after my program on sales, after my program, four of his sales managers came up to me all together. And they said, we want to talk to you about some of the things you mentioned. So we have this great conversation. And when I flew home, I called the guy who hired me. I always believe in doing a follow-up thank you call after every engagement. And I said, told him, I found it interesting. Four of your sales managers wanted to talk to me. And then I said something that changed everything in my business. I said, do you think it would make sense? One of my phrases that pays. Do you think it would make sense for me to work with your sales managers to actually implement the ideas, tactics, and techniques I talked about on your stage? Because if you do, we could do that virtually. You wouldn't have to fly me back out here. Then he said, what would that look like? I had no idea because I hadn't said this before. But I decided, Dom, not to say I have no idea because I've never done this before. That doesn't make the client see you with great confidence if you say something like that. So I said, I'll have some options on your desk in the morning in an email. He said, great. So I quickly ran to my bookcase and got Alan Weiss's book on consulting and looked at how he pitched when he wanted to do aftercare type of things. And so I emailed the next morning three options, a 30-day, 60-day, and 90-day follow-up with them on implementation. 10 minutes after I sent it, I got an email back saying, we want to go with plan B. And for the next 2 days, I swear, I was going like this. I had a permanent indentation in my head. You can probably still see it from saying, why haven't I been doing this? Why haven't I been doing this all along? And I never worked for a private client or a corporation again without approaching them with aftercare. It doesn't mean they always take us up on it, but at least the offer. And with the clients who I was able to work with afterwards, they started considering me as a resource, not just a speaker. And to me, that's a higher calling. And my clients have made lots of money with aftercare. So I was really happy, as you can imagine, I kind of fell into it that day. And the first time I did it, it was a home run. And I thought, this makes a lot of sense.
Oh, you're so right about that, indeed. Not just nickels and quarters either, makes all sorts.
That's right.
That's indeed. Yeah, because that's something like, because you're the, man, you still might be the only person out there who really teaches this. Because it's like when I read it in your book, I'm like, wait. I never even thought of this at all as a freaking model. Like no one talks about this at all because it makes no sense.
You know, I have the nichest business. There are other people who do what I do. I'll tell you, when I started, there weren't very many. There are more now. But this is a very different business, being in the intellectual property business. You know, it's not like we can hold up a product and show it and describe it. But a challenge for us, in order to get in front of the microphone on a platform, is to be able to explain the outcomes that we can bring someone through our expertise. And so that's why I think it's so important, the language people use, the words that they use. And as you said, you have to be a good salesman. You can have the best message, the best speech in the world, and no one will hear it if you can't sell it.
Mm. So true. It's so true. Got to why marketing is so much needed. Heck, even I just got to toss in with the, I guess before I press the official record button for the episode where you mentioned how your wonderful book with the reprint, like you've done a lot better job with the launch and the marketing and just getting it out there. And so far it's got more reviews in what, 2 months than the other book did?
It actually had more reviews in 2 weeks than my first edition did. And I did a formal launch this time with this book. This book was the little book that could. I have to tell you, when I wrote the original version in 2017, I told people, Dom, this is going to sell in the tens. And they said, of thousands? I said, no, the tens. And that's if my family buys it. Because it's such a niche book. You know, it's such a niche book. I really had no I didn't know how well it would do. It had a life of its own. Since 2017, there has never been a month where I haven't gotten a royalty check on that book. Now, the royalty check sometimes might be a couple of bucks, but still, it means people are reading it. And that's what made me want to go back and write a second edition, update it, because everything has changed in our business practically since 2017 when I wrote the original edition. And I decided to do a formal launch, and I used a gentleman in National Speakers Association, Robbie Samuels, to handle my launch. I talked to several people and chose Robbie, and he was so helpful. I recommend him for anyone who is looking to launch a book. So we really did formalize this and came out with a plan. I said my first launch was opening my front door and shouting to my neighborhood that my book was published. That didn't go that well, Don. That did not go that well. This went much better. I'm very proud. Very proud of it.
I'm so glad it did too, because you even stuffed the second edition of more content. It's all updated too. So it's freaking awesome.
It is. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Very flattered.
Oh, of course indeed. Of course indeed. And heck, shoot. I even love that she inserted the Jeffrey Gittimer story in the second edition too, because it helps out folks with the email marketing as well.
You know, Jeffrey Gittimer, I knew Jeffrey before he hired me as a client. And I think he's a genius. He's a real contrarian for people who know and or have read anything about Jeffrey. He wrote the best-selling book, The Sales Bible, several editions on the New York Times bestseller list. And I'll just explain the story that you were talking about. This was before he hired me to work with him in his business. I was on the road working with somebody, and I put out these tips. When I started my business, I thought, I'm going to put out these Book More Business tips for speakers in order to get email addresses. And so I did. And my first tip, I was so excited, went out while I was working in Atlanta. Not that I remember this so clearly. I was in Atlanta in a hotel. And the first tip, I can't even remember what the tip was, Tom, but I put a quote at the end of it saying, sales is like 99% inspiration, 1% perspiration, or the opposite. I can't even remember. And it was a quote by Irving Berlin. Irving Berlin. And I thought, these speakers are going to think I'm a genius tying Irving Berlin into the speaking business. So I sent it out and I thought, this is going to be fascinating. And I got a phone call, picked up my messages, and the first message went like this. Beep, take me off your damn tip list. If I wanted to know what Irving Berlin thought about professional speaking, I'd go to the library. Click. Then followed immediately by a second voicemail saying, beep, Lois, this is Gittimer. Was I a little harsh in my last message? And then he said, that was a great tip, but you ended it with a quote by Irving Berlin. And I walked away thinking how smart Irving Berlin was. And I didn't give you a second thought. So if you're going to quote someone else, use their quote and then put your interpretation or your spin on it. Or quote yourself. Use your own quotes. And I thought it was a genius tip. And it's something, obviously, that I remember. And I pass on to colleagues, and I kept it in the second edition because I think it's a great tip.
It is a great tip, indeed. It's so true. It's like, hey,
it is true.
Folks are going to want to hire you. They want to hear you.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been coaching and consulting for so many years, there been a client moment or a client story that really sticks out to you that helps you to up your game as a coach?
I think one of the biggest breaks I got, I will say, was that early in my business, I did a breakout session at National Speakers Association national meeting. And I went home after the event. I thought it went well. Probably just a few days after being home, I got a phone call, and he said, this is Jack Canfield. And I thought, am I being punked? I really thought it's a friend of mine. And he said, Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup fame and Success Principles fame, he said, the vice president of my business was in your session at the NSA meeting, and she said, we need to hire you. And lo and behold, just a few weeks later, I was out working with Jack and his team. And it was a huge break for me. And Dom, the nicest guy in the world, walked me out to my rental car at the end of the second day for me to leave. And he said to me, this is the best money I've spent in consulting in years. And I said, can I quote you on that? And he said, absolutely. So I got to the airport, I opened my laptop and quickly emailed him and said, this is what you said. I just want to make sure that it's okay for me to use. And he said, absolutely. He was wonderful to me, a generous man. And that it looked pretty nice to be able to have him as a client early in my business. So I've been very fortunate in my over 20 years doing this. And that was a key moment for me, for sure.
Yeah, key moment indeed. That's right indeed. Now she's got a whole keychain. It's still adding more keys.
Well, it's fun. I mean, I'm having the best time of anybody you know. I mean, I feel very blessed that I get to get up every day and do what I love to do.
Amen to that indeed. Amen to that indeed. So my goodness, has there been a major setback you had in business that actually set you up for more success?
Well, you know, absolutely. And I'm going to mention this because it is not just me. You may have even experienced this. You know, COVID just cleared the calendars of every professional speaker. Cleared the calendar. As sad a time as that was, there were some blessings to come out of it. I like to look for sometimes the little blessings we can pick out of tough times. But Zoom came as a result of COVID. And Zoom has changed the world of professional speaking. It allows us to give virtual presentations. It was a lifeline for professional speakers during COVID. But it allowed corporations and businesses to see that this can be a great resource for us to use as well as in-person events. And so I think that lots of times looking for the blessing is the way to go. It's really the way to go. And Zoom has been so incredibly helpful for us. It's another income stream for speakers. I tell my clients, promote that you do virtual presentations, but also Zoom is absolutely terrific for that aftercare portion when you're working with someone after the event to implement your content. So as sad as that was, and as tough and as scared as we all were going in COVID, we really reaped a big blessing from it. And that was Zoom and how it has added to our repertoire of being able to offer services in professional speaking and consulting.
Sweet. I'm talking about indeed. So since you've been on so many interviews promoting the wonderful work that you've been doing over the years, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
Well, now that's an interesting question. I feel like I've been asked just about any question you can imagine. I do want to say this and emphasize this again, and you and I talked about this just a few minutes ago. This is a very tough business. It's not for the weak of heart. It looks so attractive because a lot of speakers make a lot of money for an hour speech or a 90-minute speech. But I think that mere mortals have no idea what goes into getting the opportunity to do that hour or 90 minutes on a platform. So it's tough work. You have to invest in yourself. You're selling your expertise. You have to be on a constant learning curve to be able to keep up with the latest and the greatest that's happening in your industry. So it's not as easy as it looks. And I think those of us who take the platform want it to look seamless and easy, but we work really hard to make it look easy. So I would just tell people that looks can be deceiving in an industry. If you're thinking about speaking, go into it with your eyes wide open. I'm not discouraging people from going into this industry. I obviously love it. I've been doing it over 20 years. But it's not as easy as you may think. A lot goes into it.
True indeed. A lot goes into it indeed. That's right indeed. Heck, even, shoot, not even think about it. When it comes to a lot, probably have to keep yourself fueled up. So your fabulous book, Book More Business, Make More Money Speaking. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh. You know, if that book were a food, I think it would be a milkshake. Something that's very appealing, but it goes down easy. I formatted this book, Dom. The chapters are very short. And you've read this, you know, the chapters are very short. And you know why I formatted it that way? It was after working with Jack Canfield. I wanted it formatted like the chicken soup books were formatted, as you can pick it up and put it down easily. In the index, you can find anything you want to know right away in my book. And so I would say it's a milkshake. it looks good and it goes down smooth and it's not heavy lifting.
So I'm talking about indeed. So instead of bringing the boys to the yard, it'll bring the buyers to the yard.
There you go. There you go.
That's right, dude. It's our speaking business milkshake, y'all. Brings buyers to the yard.
I'm thinking about my book in a new way now because we spent time together today.
Sweet. So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, so since you got so much content out there and you got one of the newsletters and such, is like, do you have any specific writing rituals to get yourself in the zone for writing or putting out content?
You know, yes, I do. And thanks for asking. I found out that what I needed in order to write, and I write blogs all the time. I've written a few books, but I write blogs all the time. I need to really carve out time on my schedule and commit to nothing else. I won't answer the phone. I won't do anything. And it might be an hour. It might be 90 minutes. I don't do more than that. But I found out that when I do that, when I time block, I actually get it done. So I actually do put on my calendar writing 9 to 10:30, and I won't accept any other calls or do anything else. It's my way. I also suggest that for speakers who are looking to sell their speaking services. The way I got traction was time blocking, saying I'm going to block out this time and do nothing but sell and connect with people who are good prospects for what I'm selling. I think time blocking is a great way to up your productivity. And I think most of us are solopreneurs. I outsource some things in my business, but most of us are solopreneurs. And so we can get pulled in any number of ways. Shiny object syndrome is real, Dom, for yeah. Solopreneurs. And time blocking has really been my key to productivity in my business, and I share it with my clients.
You'll love to see it indeed. You'll love to see it indeed. Yeah, that really puts a dead end on procrastination, too, when you actually schedule it and block the time out. Or just like, hey, yeah. I got it right here. Make sure I do nothing else.
Absolutely right. And I think that's why it works. And when I put it on my calendar, I'm really serious about it. I don't just say, no, I think I want to watch TV instead. I'm very serious about it. And I think that that's what it takes. When you are working on your own for your own business, you just have to make sure that you do the behind the scenes things that need to be done to create your own success. And so I did things the wrong way and the right way. This is not always a success only path for me or for most of us. But time blocking is one of my big keys.
You'll love to see it. That's how you get your metaphorical business book castle. You block out the time. Use them bricks of time. So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. So now that you got a successful launch for the second edition of your book, I'm sure you got a bunch of other things planned. So anything big you're excited about over the next 6 to 12 months, folks should be on the lookout for?
Well, I'm always excited about something. I feel like I always have something to look forward to. I am going to be doing a challenge in January to get your year off right. About a second book that I wrote with author Kathy Fiak, who's a great book coach, by the way. And it's called The Speakerpreneur, Sell More Books and Book More Speeches. We're going to talk about how to leverage one to the other. You can find information on my Facebook page, Lois Kramer, my name, or on my LinkedIn page, any social media page. We're doing a challenge in January that I think is going to be fun. I'm going to be presenting at the NSA's national meeting in the spring, which I'm honored and excited about, on how to sell speeches. So there are lots of things coming up that I'm excited about, though.
Woohoo! That's what I'm talking about, Dave. So, I mean, it's going to be a fabulous 2025. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Lois and Kathy's going to have you covered. That's right, indeed. It'll be the LCC, Lois Kramer and Kathy.
It's going to be fun. I need to use that to promote it. I like that, Don.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's kind of like the pun on a bun. That's right. If there's a bun will appear. Well, for coming down to the bash, a question that every guest gets to receive. And that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Wow. If I wanted to be in the industry where I am now, it would be to write more and use video more. 2025, everything that I've read, all the market intelligence I've done, is going to be a banner year for professional speaking. It's going to be the best year that we see. Unforeseen circumstances, of course, can appear, but all of the indicators are it's going to be great. And I think the way to give people a taste of the value of your intellectual property is by writing. I'm a big believer in blogs. Doing a podcast like you are, get your name out there, get information out there, get the word out there. But videotape is, you know, people who want to hire you want proof that you can do what you say you can do. And so as a presenter, if you can put video snippets out there on a consistent basis, showing you doing what you want people to pay you to do, it's a big win. So writing and video, I think, are going to rule in 2025. Also, the other big thing is, if I were 25 again, or if I'm my age, which I'm not going to tell you, but I was blonde when I started this business, if it tells you anything, is follow AI. AI is transforming our industry, and like many industries, it is allowing us to do so much more in less time. And you do yourself no favors if you ignore this. This is not just a trend. This is a cultural thing now. And it's why I wrote about AI in the new edition. It's changing the face of my industry and most industries out there. And it's going to be a way to fast forward your success in 2025.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. Dude, I'm talking about. Indeed. That's right. Writing and video, y'all. Strike D. Put that pen to paper, finger to key. Strike D. Make the magic happen, y'all. Strike D. Good old video action. Strike D. That's why so many darn websites trying to take some of that YouTube money with all the shorts and whatnot.
That's right.
Like even YouTube shorts being expanded to 3 minutes, I hear, too.
That's right.
So
now it's YouTube kind of shorts, isn't it, Tom?
That's true. It's kind of short now. It ain't just short.
Yeah.
Who knows? We might get our way back up to tall, long-form content, I guess.
We'll see. What's down the road? We don't know. We don't know.
And then the folks at Starbucks get mad and be like, hey, we got tall drinks here. Even though you're talking about video content.
Same thing.
But hey, folks need to dump, or should I say, jump into your magical tall, if not shoot, probably 30-foot tall brick wall of content that you have to help out speakers to advance to the next level and keep up with your journey and buy copies of your books. So for those who need to step into the wonderful land of Lois and keep up with all that you're doing, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Well, you can always connect with me on my website, bookmorebusiness.com. Or email me, lois@bookmorebusiness.com. I'm all over social media, so I'm pretty easy to find. And I'm happy to answer any questions or talk with anybody who has an interest. And my book is on Amazon for anyone interested.
Woohoo! We are that right, folks. Lois has got you covered indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed, yo. Oh, will this be an audio down the road, maybe? Second edition?
It is going to be an audio. Thank you for asking. And that audio will be out in the spring of 2025, and I'm going to launch that as well. So I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for asking.
Well, I can indeed, sure, because folks may be like, hey, I enjoy our content here, enjoy hearing her speak. Like, hey, we need to take Lois on the go and get in my brain.
Stay tuned. It's coming. It's coming.
There you go. The brainwash. It's coming. That's right. You're going to book more business. That's right, indeed. He's going to be sending random checks to Lois's inbox for no reason. That's right.
That's going to happen. That's a beautiful thing, Tom.
Yeah, that's right indeed. It'll be like, hey, snail mail is still king because not everybody's doing it if you could do it.
It's right, true. It is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Name of the game is Before the Snails Appear, or should I say, More of them appear and a turtle. Any parting words before we close up shop?
No, I wish people who are interested in this business great success. Go into it with your eyes wide open and be brave and be original. Always be on that path to learning more about your area of expertise and keeping up with the latest in your area of expertise. That's what will make you money in this business.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.